Well, that's an interesting collection of passages of scripture, as they so frequently are. I was going to say there isn't very much of the Bible that's dull, but actually there is. That's why so many people who begin decide they're going to read the Bible through. They start at Genesis, because of course you start at the beginning, and they peter out somewhere in Leviticus, or if they're really stalwart, they peter out in Deuteronomy. There are better ways to read your way through the whole Bible, and I'd be happy to recommend them if anybody's looking for one. But we're going to look primarily at our Old Testament lesson today and ask the rhetorical question of, have you ever wrestled? I did when I was in school. It was a requirement in phys ed, something I couldn't get out of no matter how hard I tried. I wasn't very good at it because, well, first of all, I didn't want to, so that always makes things harder, and I wasn't very strong or very big or anything else. But nonetheless, I have some idea of what it means to wrestle. And first of all, let's make sure that we realize this is the wrestling that you see during the Olympics, not WWE. Nobody brings in a chair. Nobody throws people over the ropes. There are no ropes. It's just a big flat surface that is allegedly padded. I didn't notice the padding myself. As far as sort of combat sports go, wrestling is different than most of them. Because in most of the other ones, the idea is to either hit them somehow, like in boxing, you punch them, and mixed martial arts, you can punch or kick them or knee them. And, well, I don't think biting's allowed, but pretty much everything else is. But it's all this sort of striking thing. In judo, the idea is to grab somebody and throw them down. In wrestling, you grab a hold of somebody and you don't let go. Because the idea is, in wrestling, that you eventually get enough control of them to press them to the ring, the floor, in such a way that the referee says you have won. Well, have you ever wanted someone to let go when they wouldn't? This is a classic uncle, perhaps uncle in quotation marks, you know, the single friend of your dad's who comes over and insists on tickling you, for example. I'm thinking of one particular person, blessed by God, no doubt, if not by me at that time, because I didn't like being tickled. But you have these people holding on to you, and you say, you know, let me go, and they don't. Well, Jacob is in a very interesting position of his life. On the way here, I was rehearsing the story of Jacob to Theseus, my youngest, so I thought, well, you might not remember this from Sunday school, so I'm just going to go right through. And so I talked to him about the whole the Laban thing and all of that. And by this time, we have Jacob going back to his homeland, to Esau, who is going to kill him, as far as he knows, which is why he's so careful when he goes back. But they're on their way back. They get to the Jabbok. Jacob sends all of his family possessions over across the ford and then stays there, at which point a man appears, we don't know from where or how, and wrestles with him till daybreak. That's the other thing about wrestling. If somebody wrestles with you, you're sort of compelled to wrestle back because they've got a hold of you. I mean, I guess you can just go limp and lie there, but you know, it's very much this kind of thing where you have two people involved. And this must have been quite the wrestling match because it went on until daybreak. And then the man says, it's daybreak, let me go. When I was younger, I conflated a couple of stories here and just assumed that Jacob was wrestling with a vampire, which is not the case, or some other fiend that had disappeared with day. But and Jacob says, no, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And so the man asks him a really weird question. He says, what's your name? Jacob. And the man says, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with people, and you have overcome. Jacob says, well, tell me your name. And he says, why do you ask my name? And blesses him, realizes that he can't beat him, so he dislocates his hip and disappears. The hip is sort of your best joint. As somebody's had joint problems all over the place, never really had problems with my hips because it's one of the strongest ones you have. It's well supported and all that. So this is a real thing. So Jacob then limps across, and then the rest of the story, when he meets Esau, we'll perhaps talk about next Sunday or some other time. So as I was thinking about this, about this whole wrestling thing, and I was thinking back to when my dad's friends insisted on grabbing me and tickling me or whatever it was he was doing. I wasn't a mean person. I just didn't listen very well and didn't understand that this is something that I found really quite distressing. And I thought, well, sometimes, you know, saying let me go doesn't help. But also, sometimes saying let me go is the wrong thing to say. Because we don't only grab a hold of people when we're in a wrestling ring, whether it is one of those weird ones made for television or whether it's the wrestling that they do in the Olympics and all of those things. Sometimes people grab a hold of us to keep us from hurting ourselves. And so if you are in the middle of a seizure, for example, and someone grabs a hold of you, well, first of all, you're unlikely to be able to say, let me go. But even if you do, that person is not going to let you go. If you are a young person, say one of my children, who occasionally just got so overwrought that the only thing that helped them was Hadley wrapping them up and lying with them. And I can still hear these diminishing volume requests to let me go. But Hadley didn't let them go, because what they needed was that strong sense of connection to get back in control of themselves. There are service dogs who are trained for people with high anxiety to lie on them when they are overwhelmed. And because when people are overwhelmed, when you're overwhelmed, you're not yourself. You might hurt yourself, you might hurt somebody else. And if it spirals out of control, it just gets worse and worse, of course. And so in that case, and I've seen videos of this, I've never seen it in person. They tend to be large dogs, of course. You'll see something like a lab gently but firmly lie down on top of the owner until the owner can get back in connection with themselves. Sometimes when we say, let me go, the correct answer is no. And have you ever wanted God to let go of you? I have. I was following a minister who had been forced to leave the ministry due to an affair with the church secretary, as happens far more often than I wish. And we were 2 or 3 weeks into the lectionary, because that's what I went with. This is in my early days of preaching. And we got to Jesus' teaching on divorce. And I said, God, I don't want to talk about this. I'm not going to. Let me go, metaphorically speaking. God said, no, this is what you're going to talk about. And it's not going to be easy necessarily, but the congregation needs to know that their decision to separate themselves from this minister was not a simplistic one. It wasn't simply made, and it wasn't made outside of the larger picture of Scripture that talks about fidelity and loyalty in all relationships, but particularly in the marriage covenant. I didn't enjoy preaching that sermon very much, and I'm not sure that people enjoyed listening to it, but it came up off and on over the rest of the 2.5 years I was there, that it had been what they needed to hear. Jacob, for most of his life, is a really unpleasant person. I mean, the only time you ever feel sympathy for Jacob, really, is when he meets somebody equally unpleasant in the form of his uncle Laban. But something happens. Somewhere along the line, Jacob goes from being a wretch, an unpleasant, manipulative person, sneaky, willing to lie to his dying father that he's somebody else, namely his brother Esau, someone without a moral compass, it appears, at all, and becomes one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He becomes a different person. And the process begins, I believe, with when he meets Laban, and I think he sees for the first time what it's like to be taken advantage of to the level that he was, and perhaps look back at his own life and said, I'm not that much better, if at all. But I wonder if this wrestling match was the final stage of Jacob going from a deeply unpleasant man to one of the big three, one of the patriarchs of the nation of Israel, one of the patriarchs of the faith that we also are part of. Because he gets a new name there. And when he gets the name, it doesn't say, like, the name Israel is not the person who is striving with God and might prevail, who is striving with men, women, people of any kind, and overcome. It's in the past tense. And I think this is one of those moments when Jacob is encouraged to realize that he's not that person anymore. He doesn't have to be. That he's done that. And now he can become this new person. If you continue reading the text, you'll see Jacob's interaction with Esau. And it is completely different than any other interaction he's had with Esau before. There's some humility there. There's some care. There's a lot of worry, which I think is reasonable. But Jacob becomes somebody else because he wrestled with God and because God didn't let go. There are times when we will wrestle with God in our own way. It's not going to be a physical thing like this, at least I don't think so. But we will see these things we need to do, and we need to think them through, and we need to decide, will I do this or not? Will I actually do what I know it is that I should do? And we can say, let go. We can even yell, let me go. But when we need to go through that process of the wrestling, to push the metaphor as far as we can, we're not let go of until we've learned what we need to learn. Jacob was let go when he had a bad hip and a new name. And Jacob was a new person from that moment on. Hardly perfect any more than any of us are, but very different than he'd been before. And so perhaps you're wrestling with God at the moment about something. I don't know if you are or not. But if you are, and in the future, if you find yourself in that, just remember that just because you ask somebody to let you go and they don't, it doesn't mean they're tormenting you. It doesn't mean you're about to get a whisker rub, the worst of all things. It might mean that you're being held until you can become your fullest self, become the person that you were created to be, to become more and more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We might not like being held that way sometimes, but sometimes it's the best thing for us. We probably won't get a new name out of it, but we might find out that we've become a new person. We've moved to that next level of what it means to be the best selves that we can be. So as we wrestle, and when we wrestle, let's do it with a good heart, knowing that we're being held for our good purposes as well as God's good purposes, even if we can't see them right at the moment. Amen.